is a childlike trust and a heart that's learning to lead. I'm learning to lead. I'm learning to lead. I'm learning to lead on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I was sad, brokenhearted at an altar in prayer. I found peace that is so childlike trust and a heart that's learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. Yes, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed.
Let's stand this evening. This is 24 in your handbook.
Well, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Well, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm's sake, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. should I then care though the tempest may blow if Jesus walks close to my side? I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow if Jesus walks close to my side? I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, sheltering on. I'm living by faith.
Oh, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. Oh, I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Lord, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms. Lord, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. Let's sing it one more time together. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. And I'm trusting, confiding by faith, and I feel alone. Amen. What a blessed thing it is to be living by faith. God bless you this evening. Good to be in church again together. Wanted to announce, Lord willing, we'll be having dedication services here at the church October 12th and 13th. At 7:30 p.m., that's Wednesday and Thursday of October the 12th and the 13th. Thursday evening will actually be the dedication service, Lord willing. Brother Ron Spencer will be preaching those. And then we're going to have a pitch-in meal on Saturday between 11 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And we'll get you some more information on that. I'm trying to get the same place that we rented for the 4th of July meetings, but just haven't confirmed back on the dates yet to hear. They haven't got back with me to let me know if that's available. And then also that Sunday morning and Sunday evening, Brother Jack Duff will be preaching for us. So we're looking forward to those meetings. And there's quite a few families that are going to be traveling this week. So I want to remember those in prayer for Traveling Mercies. And also, Brother G emailed me this morning. Him and his family are traveling back home to Zimbabwe, so he requested our prayers. And Brother Layton, he's not feeling well tonight. I want to remember him in prayer. Also, Sister Patty Hansel is going to have surgery, Lord willing, one day next week. So I want to remember her in prayer. And Brother Matt Savari has shingles. He requested prayer. And Sister Helen Wheatley is a sister from my Uncle Jeff's church up in Delaware. She fell and is in the hospital. So I want to remember her in prayer. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Truman, would you come this evening and just lead us in a word of prayer over these prayer requests tonight? Amen.
May we bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, for what you mean to us. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings, Lord. We ask you now that you'd be with us, Lord. We bring these requests before you, Heavenly Father, knowing that you're a great God, Lord. We commit each one of them to you, Lord, Heavenly Father. We ask you, Lord, to work each one out according to your perfect will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. You can be seated at this time. I believe Brother Arnie and Sister Alice have a special for us at this time.
Praise the Lord. Just a real honor to stand before God's people under any circumstances, whether you're testifying or preaching or praying or singing. I'm just glad to be part of God's family. I know when you come up to sing that, you know, they teach you in the Bible colleges and so forth that you're not supposed to try to preach when you come up to sing or take up a lot of time. But they teach you a lot of stuff in Bible college that you can do without. I'll tell you a little real quick story, if you don't mind, Brother Nathan. Years and years ago, I had the misfortune of going to an Assembly of God Bible College up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that was quite an experience. It would take just a little while to give you a picture of it, but I didn't last 1 year, actually. They told me, they said, Arnie, we just don't believe that you're going to fit in with our program here. And I thought, well, boo-hoo-hoo. And it turned out that God did me a favor by not letting me get involved in some system. And he was watching over me way back then, long before I even knew about the prophet. And I really appreciate that. But one thing they taught us, they said, they said that preachers aren't supposed to spend a lot of time singing, and the song leader's not supposed to get up and try to preach, all those little rules and regulations. And I'm so glad I found out that that wasn't in God's rule book. But I do want to, just real quickly before we sing, I just want to say that I really do appreciate Brother Nathan answering God's call to pastor a little flock here in this area. It took courage. He needs God's wisdom. I'm sure he'd be the first to admit that, as we all do. But there was a void. There was a void. Brother Nathan didn't go in and push himself into some position. God ordained that position for him before the foundation of the world. And now there's a house of refuge here. And I'll say this and then we'll sing. But Brother Branham said that the highest office in the world, he didn't say it was the Queen of England or the President of the United States or the Dalai Lama or the Bishop of Rome, but he said the highest office in the world is a minister. So Brother Nathan has an important job. And I want to encourage you to pray for our pastor. If the people ever lose respect for their pastor, that church is gone. If the people ever stop praying for their pastor, you're in for trouble. But I appreciate the people here at this little church and appreciate what God's doing, and I'm glad to be able to be a little part of it. Amen. And I want to thank God for giving me the most precious wife ever. Amen. If God could have given us fellas a better gift, he would have. The best gift that God can give a man is a wife, a good Christian wife. So I don't say enough about her, but I just wanted to take that since we're at an evening meeting and everybody's kind of relaxed and so forth. But I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Alice.
Thank you.
Now, this is an old song, but old songs, you just can't wear them out. No matter how long they've been sang or how many years you've heard the song, they just keep getting better and better. Amen. So you pray for us. We'll practice on you once again. Amen.
I feel the touch of hands so warm and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must run. They don't worry me, for I'm
walks with me, and not a bird can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Praise the Lord. Lord bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Amen. If the brothers would come at this time, receive the offering.
Oh, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. He's coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. Oh, what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Oh, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, oh, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, it seems that now I almost see all the saints and dead. They're rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. And in the twinkling of an eye, change them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, oh, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior. Oh, shake somebody's hand while we sing it tonight. Hallelujah. we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies.
Amen. How many is looking forward to it tonight?
Amen.
God bless you. Good to be in church again together to worship the Lord. And just want to say, I certainly appreciated that tonight by Brother Arnie and Sister Alice. We appreciate them as well and appreciate their spirit. And glad to have them a part of our congregation here. And glad to have each and every one of you as well. I think it's mainly home folks tonight. So we can just let down our hair, as Brother Bram would say, and just relax. And we're just going to have church tonight, if that's okay. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus again this evening. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Amen. God bless you. Let's just bow our heads this evening together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, as we've sang the songs of Zion, and Lord, just it's good to be, Lord, in a place where you're welcome in our midst, Lord, and just to be able to worship together, just to be able to lift our hands to you and thank you for all that you've done for us, all that we can see you continuing to do. And Lord, I just ask you to be with the service tonight, Lord. Help me just to get myself out of the way this evening so that you could use me however you see fit. And Lord, may you just have total preeminence in this service. May everything that's said and done be pleasing to you. Lord, may you do the leading. May you do the guiding. Just help us, Father. Draw us closer to you is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this evening. Moses, as we've been looking at it the last few weeks, he's been coming into Pharaoh, and he keeps telling him over and over and over, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh refused to let him go, and plague after plague after plague began to attack. And we looked at how that they had gone into darkness in this last ninth plague that we looked at. But now we're going to look at the 10th and final plague here this evening with the help of the Lord. And you just bear with me this evening, and we'll try to find the mind of the Lord and see what he would have for us tonight. But we want to look at verse 4. It says, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Oh, but I like this. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. Now, Matthew Henry picks this up in his commentary. And he phrases it like this. He says, while angels slew the Egyptians, not so much as a dog should bark at any of the children of Israel. The Bible said, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. And so as the angel of God is going through and smiting the land of Egypt, all the firstborn, whether it be the servants of Pharaoh, whether it be Pharaoh's own family, his nephews, his cousins, his aunts, his uncles, whatever it would be, all the firstborn, the angel of the Lord is coming down there, even to their animals, to their cattle, to the dogs, to the chickens, to whatever it would be. All the firstborn in all the land of Egypt was dying. But yet while this chaos was going on, while this darkness was hitting the land, over in Goshen, not even a dog was going to bark against the children of Israel. And for the rest of verse 7 says that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, many times as Christians, when we begin to look at something and we see that God begins to draw kind of a barrier or a dividing line, many times we look at it and we say, well, it's not fair. Why can't we be like this group? Or why can't we do this? Or why does God's word not allow us to do this or not allow for that? And why does he request that we do it this way? And why do we have to be separate? Why do the women have to wear their hair a certain way? And why can't the men go out and wear shorts and play golf and all these things? You know, out there with all the women with their little short shorts on. And, you know, I've seen some of them jogging down the road, and it make you about sick to your stomach to see them jogging along in their little short shorts. But they think they're doing something. They get out there on the basketball court or the golf court or whatever it would be, and they begin to say, you know, they think they're something. But Brother Branham looked at it, and he said it was the sickest thing he'd ever seen. My, it's quiet. Is this on tonight? Said they belong to a society spiritually, the Big Sissy Society. I've never joined Brother Hoover. I've never joined the society, but there's many that do join it spiritually speaking. And so we begin to look and see, and people cross their arms and they say, well, that's not fair, and you shouldn't preach those things, and oh my, you know, they have their opinions and their ideas. But when we begin to take it back to the Word, we find that there is a separation, there is a division, there is something different about us than the rest of the world. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. While the rest of the world is out here and they're addicted to all kinds of different things, whether it be prescription drugs or whether it be heavy drugs or whether it be alcohol or tobacco or whatever it would be, they've got addictions and they've got sicknesses and diseases from the things that they're addicted to. But yet there's something about it. There's a division between God's people and the people of the world. What is it? It's for our protection. It's not because God wants us to live bound down and all, you know, give us a book of rules and you can't do this and now you can't go over there and do that and you know, don't do this over here to where it becomes a legalistic thing. But God does have things in place for his people. We do believe in living holiness. We do believe in abstaining from the things of the world. And why is it? It's for our own protection. Many times when people get out around things, they don't recognize that the spirits that are revolving around that thing are literally oppressing them and weighing them down. If they're not careful, they'll get a spirit on them that they may deal with the rest of their life. But I don't know why I'm going down this road tonight, but maybe it'll help somebody. And it's because they get in an environment where they're susceptible to these things when God's calling for his people, be separate. Come out from among her, my people. And when he does that, he's got a Goshen for us somewhere, that he's not doing it just so that he can have us under his thumb and rule with the rod of iron, but he's doing it for our protection so that in the time of plague, in the time of tribulation, there'll be a group of people that's a separated, called out people that God can look down through time and say, that's one of mine. He could look down through time, and Brother Branham could look at it by vision, as the brother was saying the other evening, and he could look down through time and see her marching. But when she would go to get out of step a little bit, he would cry out, get back in line. I think it's getting back in line time tonight. Amen. God is calling for a separation. He's wanting the world to know, and he's wanting his people to know there's a difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. There's a difference between the cannon fodder out here and between the bride of Jesus Christ. There's a difference, and God visibly shows that difference with signs and wonders following, with vindications, with promises that he fulfills, and we're able to look around and recognize that there's something different. Why is it that you could go down here and say, in a denominational church, and maybe the man get up and read out of the very same Bible that I'm reading? He could go through the same motions. Maybe he could perform some of the exact same ritualistic type of things. He could come and he could physically lay his hands on the sick. He could come and physically take the communion. He could come and do all these different things and yet sit as dead as a doornail, never a person healed, never a person raised from the dead, never a person received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why is it? Because they think they're serving God, but yet they're out there in darkness because they haven't came into Goshen. There were people in the land of Egypt that even got around Pharaoh and said, this man is a prophet, and you better listen to what he's saying. But they were still in darkness because they hadn't come over into Goshen. There were people around Pharaoh that would say, "My, are you going to let this man completely destroy Egypt? Don't you recognize that what he is saying is coming to pass? Don't you recognize that he's a vindicated prophet?" But yet the plagues would still go on around them. Their eldest children would still lay dead, even though maybe they recognized this man to be a prophet. They hadn't come out of Egypt and went into Goshen. And there was still darkness and there were still plagues. And he begins to put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. They begin to recognize there's something different. Verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Now he's starting this off and he's telling them that they're going to do the Passover and he's telling them how they're going to do it. But he's telling them, this is going to be a new beginning for you. This is going to be a new start for you. I want you to reset your calendars. And this is going to be the beginning of the month for you. It's going to be the beginning of years for you. I want you to start everything from this date and say, this is a new beginning, that something is taking place. Oh, there's something about it when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that the devil might be able to come and point all kinds of things in our faith, say you'll never make it, say you're not worthy, say whatever lie he could tell you, you're not healed, you're not saved, all these different things. But God's wanting you to recognize this is a new beginning. This is a driving down of a stake that you can point the devil back to and say, I started afresh. There was something new that took place in my life, and I want to point you back to that time. It was the beginning of days, the beginning of months, the beginning of years. It was a starting over point for the children of Israel. And he said, take for each family a lamb for an house. I'm thankful that there's still a lamb that's provided for each family that can accept it. The end of verse 6 says, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, I feel like somebody got hung up when I said golf a minute ago. And that's just robbing you of the service tonight. So I'm just going to clarify a little bit and let you rest at ease a little bit tonight. To me, golf is a sport just like anything else. Whether you're shooting a ball through a hoop or putting it in a hole or throwing it to another guy across the field, it's a sport. And I can't, you know, hit a straight ball on a golf course to do anything, so it wouldn't help me any. And you go back and you look at some things Brother Branham says about golf, and it doesn't look real positive, but it's a sport like any other sport. And if you go back and remember what I was talking about men walking around in shorts playing golf. So just let that ease your conscience tonight a little bit. We can go on with the service. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land. Now the death angel is going to come throughout all the land. And it's going to smite the eldest. This is going to be the final plague that Egypt receives. This is going to be the final plague before deliverance for God's people. And yet, even though the death angel was coming down through the same area that they were in, there was going to be a token that they would have protection in the time of destruction, that they would have protection in this time of plague. And he said, if you'll just take and you'll kill of the lamb, and we'll read it here in a moment, it had to be a lamb without blemish and how it had to be. He said, if you'll just take that and you'll take hyssop and you'll apply it over the posts of the door and over the lintel thereof. And if you take and you see that how they did it, they took across the top of the door facing and down the sides of each post. And if you take and you draw right to connect those together, it's a perfect cross between the doorposts and the lintel. And he was representing the cross that we would receive as a token that was applied over us. And it says in verse 21, Moses called for all the elders of Israel, chapter 12, verse 21, and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Oh, but I forgot to tie up the mule. Oh, but I need to pay this bill down here. Oh, but I've got to go do this, and I've got to go do that, and the worries of life, and I'm so busy at my job. I've got this to take care of, and I've got, you know, a family member that I need to go visit. He said, once that token's applied, you stay in the house. Oh, I hope we can get him in the house this morning, or this evening, rather. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Verse 26. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say, now he's teaching them that after this Passover feast, they're going to kill the lamb. They're going to eat of the lamb. They're going to take the blood that's in the bowl, and they're going to put it over the doorpost and over the lintel. And it's going to be a testimony that when the death angel passes by, he'll recognize this and he'll pass over their house. And as they eat the Passover, he said, this is going to be something that you keep every year. This isn't just a one-time thing, but you're going to keep this every year. And he says in verse 26, it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their heads in worship. Now he says, when you go to perform this service, and you go and you kill the lamb, and you go and you take the blood, and you put it over the doorpost and the lintel, when you go to do that, and the children that weren't there in 1963, oh, excuse me. When the children weren't there on the day of Pentecost, or when they weren't there at Azusa Street, and they get in there, and he says in verse 27, they say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Oh, I wonder if some of them, you know, that haven't ever been in church because their parents don't go, I wonder if they would come into a service and they would sit there and they would see sisters begin to scream and brothers begin to shout and dance and speak in tongues and the Holy Spirit begin to fall. They could look around and say, what mean ye by this kind of service? And we would say, it's just the token being applied again. It's just a fresh outpouring of the token falling. The Holy Spirit is our token today, remember. Oh my, when it came from heaven like a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't a very quiet atmosphere, I don't think. I've heard people say, oh my, at our church it's just so quiet and peaceful, and oh my, when the presence of the Lord comes, it's just so calm and quiet. And I think, my, it sounds like a Baptist church to me. Sounds like a Methodist church or a Catholic church. But when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, they didn't say, oh, Brother Peter, did you get it over there? Oh, I got it too. Praise God, I got it too. Now, don't raise your voice. We don't want to get out of church order. You be real calm. You step real easy. Hey, I believe in church order too. But Brother Bram said sometimes he wished we'd get out of order long enough to get saved. He said, I'd like to see a little wildfire more than no fire at all. And so there's something about it. When the Holy Spirit began to come, it didn't come and gently tap at the door and say, anybody mind if I come in and fall upon this one and fall upon that one? It came like a mighty rushing wind and filled the house where they were in. And they begin to speak like drunk men. And they begin to walk like drunk men. And even the people on the outside looking in, they begin to look and say, my goodness, these men are drinking wine this early in the morning. They've got a serious problem. And Peter said, no, it's not that kind of wine. This is new wine. He said, this is that was promised by the prophet Joel, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your old men will see visions, and your young men will dream dreams. He said, this is that. Brother Branham would go on to say, if this isn't that, I'll keep this till that comes. Amen. Oh, my, I'm glad I've got it tonight. Amen. There's something about it. You know, Brother Branham was talking to a man one time, and he began to complain about how the people got excited in the service and the noise and the different things. He said, oh, Brother Branham, I was enjoying what you were speaking on until that lady began to get up and shout and scream. And he said, I just couldn't even handle it after that. Couldn't even hold on to the service at all. Brother Branham said, he said, I can't hardly preach unless they're doing that. And he said, sir, let me just say this to you. This is the quietest place that you'll ever live. Now, it may not seem like it sometimes when you come into church and the music's going and the people are shouting and screaming and praising and his presence is falling, but Brother Bram said, this is the quietest place that you'll ever live. He said, if you get over to heaven, they'll be constantly singing Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and praying and bowing and worshiping. He said, if you go to hell, they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So this is the quietest place Amen. That you'll ever live. Look at somebody say, it's quiet in here tonight. I don't think he was talking about this church specifically, that it had to be the quietest place that you'd ever live. What mean ye by this service? And he begins to explain to them what had taken place, and the people bowed down and worshiped. Now, about midnight in Egypt, let's break into this in Exodus 12, verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Now, they could have had all kinds of good excuses. But I was just so busy. And, you know, life just got away from me. And I believed what that prophet said. You know, I saw the locust, and I believed that was the hand of God. And I saw the flies, and I saw the frogs. I saw all of that. I believed that was the hand of God moving. I recognized that this had to be a prophet, when even the soothsayers and all that. But if they stayed in Egypt and didn't come into Goshen, there was still death. If they attempted to come physically into Goshen, but they didn't apply the token on the doors, there was still death. There was something about it that it took more than just saying, I believe God sent a prophet, but they had to put into action what the prophet had spoken. Right. It wasn't just enough to sit there and recognize it. They had to come into it themselves. And now, even the captive in the dungeons, his firstborn, even the cattle out in the field in Egypt, their firstborn. Every little dog or every little chicken, whatever it would be, the firstborn, the death began to sweep through the land of Egypt about the hour of midnight. And there was screaming and shouting and crying. And no doubt they were just beside themselves to see, rush out the door to the neighbor's house. Is your son dead too? Yes, my firstborn. You remember him? Oh, yes, little Tommy used to play with him. He's dead too. And oh my, look at our flocks. The firstborn of everyone that we ever had, they're laying dead in the field. And I hear, so-and-so down the street, it's the same there. And they begin to run into the dungeons and into the palace and from neighborhood to neighborhood. And they could recognize that total death was swiping through and killing the firstborn because they hadn't heeded the word of the prophet of God. Amen. Now, Brother Man breaks into it in Israel in the church in 1953, March the 27th, and he says, can you see the little fellow say, Daddy, go out and take a look and make sure that the blood's still there. Daddy, go out and take a look and make sure that the blood's still there. Now, you can imagine in Goshen, as they're sitting there and they're eating of the Passover lamb, and the husband of the house, he's taken and he's got the hyssop and he's dipped it into the blood as they killed the lamb, and he takes it out and he puts it above the lintel and he puts it on each side of the doorpost, and maybe one of his neighbors walk by and say, oh man, don't tell me you're falling for that stuff too. I never heard Abraham say anything about having to put blood on the doors. Where did you come up with this? Well, Moses said. Right. Oh, I know Moses said, but, there's other good men down here, and they told me that there's nothing to that. And, I read somebody's website the other day, and they was making fun of putting blood on the doors, and they had all kinds of things to say about you all, and they think you're crazy, and they think you're in a cult. He said, I've got a little boy in there. And if Moses says I have to push a wheelbarrow through all of Egypt with my nose to save his life, I'm going to do it. If that's what it takes to apply the token, I'm going to do whatever it takes. If he says I'm going to take this quarter and get down on my hands and knees and push it with my nose across the pavestone, the cobblestones rather, to save this little boy that's my oldest son, I'm going to do whatever it takes. to apply the token to my home. You know, it's not something difficult. It's not something complicated. All he told us was just go out there and get a little hyssop and dip it in the blood and put it on the doorpost. Oh, but somebody's going to make fun of you. Somebody's going to say you're following a man. He said, I don't care what they say. I'm concerned about my house. I'm concerned about my children. I'm concerned about their spiritual condition. I'm concerned about their life. And he began to apply it, and his little son sit there. And it turns midnight, and they're sitting there around the table, and one look at the other one, and they begin to hear way off in the land of Egypt, they begin to hear screams. They begin to hear doors slamming. They begin to hear people running. They begin to hear people crying and screaming and saying their children's names over and over and over, shaking them, trying to wake them. And the death angel would go from house to house to house, and the little boy looks at his dad. He says, do you hear that out there? He said, can't you just go and check, make sure? I don't know if it rained. I don't know if something came and licked it off. Can you just go make sure the token's out there still? He said, son, you don't have to worry. But don't you hear them out there? They're screaming and crying and wailing and beating on tables and beating on doors and running up and down the streets looking for their loved ones. It's okay, son. The token's applied. Just go back over there in the corner and get your toys. Just, you can be calm. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about the judgments. You don't have to worry about the plagues. You don't have to worry about the atomic bombs or the earthquakes. It's okay. We're in Goshen. We're in Goshen, and there's more than that. The token's applied. He says, here it comes, Brother Bramman, again, Israel and the Church, 1953. Here it comes to this house. I see it coming. The little fellow says, oh, Daddy, you sure? He said, we're perfectly sure, son. And the angel slips down to the door. He's coming right now to their house. It spreads its wings to go in, and it sees the blood, and it takes flight away. He said, hallelujah, what's the matter? He's seen the blood. Amen. Now, there was something about it in our day. It wasn't a lamb physical anymore, a little lamb that we would go and we would kill and get the hyssop and put the blood over the doors. But yet, there was a lamb that was more perfect than that that would come. And this lamb was not a lamb that would have to be sacrificed annually at the Passover. And it wasn't a lamb that would just sort of whitewash our sins, but there would still be remembrance of them. But this was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And it was a perfect lamb. It had no spot, had no blemish, had no sin. And this lamb, when it would come, would wipe away sin so completely that there would be no remembrance of it anymore. Oh, you might remember it, and the devil might remember it. But once it's in God's sea of forgetfulness, he doesn't even remember it. Amen. Revelations chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read about this lamb a little bit tonight. Our lamb. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open up the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now, many of us in the message, if we're not careful, we begin to think about the seals, and we just think it's a doctrine that was revealed or a mystery that was unfolded, but it was so much more than that. This book wasn't just a book of mysteries, although it was that. It wasn't just a book of symbols, although it was that. It wasn't just a book of doctrine, although it was that. But the main emphasis of this book, Brother Branham brings it out in the preached between the seven church ages and the seven seals in 1963. He says, now we see that this seven sealed book now is the mystery of redemption. It's a book of redemption from God. So John doesn't see this book and just think, oh my, there's some mysteries in there that'll never be unfolded because there's no man worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And now there's some doctrines that I'm never going to fully understand because no man is worthy. And he didn't go over and weep and boo-hoo and snot and slobber and cry because intellectually he wasn't going to be able to understand a mystery or a doctrine. But he recognizes that this is more than just a doctrine. It's more than just a mystery. It's more than just a creed. But it's the book of redemption. And if there's no man that's worthy to loose this book and open up the seals thereof, then all humanity down through the ages is lost. Amen. because Satan had a price on your head. And when God stood there and spoke and said, the day that you sin, that day you'll die, he was coming to collect on that tax. Satan was coming to collect on that because God had spoken. But now God has a sealed book of redemption that has all the names from before the foundation of the world. I'm glad he didn't wait till I was good enough. I'm glad he didn't wait till I was righteous enough. I'm glad he didn't wait until my works looked good enough to where people could recognize me as a message believer or a message preacher or as a pastor. I'm glad he didn't wait till I hit a really good day where, oh my goodness, Lord, I only sinned 43 times that day. Surely you can accept me now. I'm glad he didn't wait till then. I'm glad he didn't wait till I found my way to an altar. I'm glad he didn't wait until he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But before the foundation of the world, he looked down through time and he said, Nathan Bryant's book is on the book of redemption. David Hoover's name, Jimmy Ard's name, you read your name in tonight. I can't go through everybody. You read your name in tonight. Their name was on a book of redemption. And I looked down through time and I saw it and I sealed it up because I didn't want Satan to get in and cause any damage. And there's only one that can loose it. And they begin to look through heaven. They begin to look through earth. They look through everywhere. They said, there's no man that's worthy, John. And John began to weep, and Christ said, oh my, I believe with all my heart, even though it hasn't been loosed, I believe my name is on that book. But if there's no man to loose the seals and to open it up and to redeem us back, then what are we going to do? And he begins to weep and he begins to wail. And one of the elders in verse 5 says unto him, weep not. Oh my, you don't have to be worried tonight. Don't worry, John. Don't weep. Don't cry. Don't lose your salvation. You're not lost. Satan didn't rob you of the Holy Ghost. He said, don't weep. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld. Now he says, the angel or one of the elders tells him, says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now he tells him, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he looks, expecting this great, ferocious lion, and he sees a lamb that looks like it's been slain. It's bloody and it's beaten and it's torn up and it's got a crown of thorns on its head. It's got scars in its side and wounds in its hands and its feet. He looks and he sees a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8 picks up on this same lamb again in verse 9. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He was already slain. He went through the motions at Calvary, but it was already taken care of before he ever even breathed the breath of life on the earth. Before Mary held him there in the manger and looked down at him, before the men took nails and drove him through his hands and feet, it was already a finished work. He just had to go through the motions, but he was slain before the foundation of the world. Oh my, he came and he opened up that book of redemption and he ripped the seals off of it and he exposed this name in this age and that name in this age and all the way down through until we was able to recognize our own name. How did you recognize your name, Brother Nathan? Well, a prophet told me in 1965, who is this Melchizedek? He said, when you recognized that what you was eating on was eagle's food, he said, you heard from your theophany. Now the sinner and the infidel and the atheist and all these out here that die, they don't have a theophany to go to. That's why Brother Branham preaches souls that are in prison now. They're caught between. They don't have a body they can step to. And the body that they were in here is gone and dead. And he said they're caught like they're in a nightmare. But there's something about it that a real born-again believer, once they die, it's not really truly death. It's just a changing of bodies. And once they step into that next place, there's a theophany body that was created for them, not with hands, but it was a body that was prepared, waiting for them in the heavens. And when they step into that, there's perfect peace, perfect joy, no sickness, no pain. Brother Yarbrough, I got up this morning and I don't know if I slept wrong or I picked up something wrong or whatever it is, but felt like my hip was out of place and couldn't hardly bend over. And I thought, I'm too young for this, Brother Hoover. Hurt me all day till I got up here, and now it's feeling pretty good. pains, gray hairs. I never had any gray hair until I became a pastor. All these different things, the aches that you have, the sickness that you feel, the loss that you feel when a loved one dies, all that, when they step into that body, all that's just a memory.
Amen.
No, it just feels like a dream. Was it even real?
Right.
It's hard to remember. Do you remember what pain felt like? You know, for the life of me, I really can't remember. Do you remember what a gray hair looked like? You know, I've been looking at this hair for so long, you know, for 6 million years, I can't hardly remember what gray looks like. And on we could go. The difference that it is as they step over. Why?
Right.
Because you had one waiting there. I recognized that I had one because I recognized that this, what I was eating on, was eagle's food. And I believe when he looked there beyond the curtain of time, he said millions of voices cried out and said, "We're resting on it." I'm just simple enough to believe that my theophany was one of those voices waiting over there. You say, "Oh, that! How can that be? When you weren't even born yet, but how could your theophany be there when Brother Branham goes beyond the curtain of time?" Well, I'll explain that to you. You explain to me how that he could be there, laying on the bed with his hands behind his head, but yet be over there talking with them and them hugging him and running up to him. If you can explain that to me, I'll explain to you how my body was there. Discerning the body of the Lord, 1959. He said the last plague that hit Egypt was death. The last plague that's to hit the church is spiritual death. What we need today is a spiritual awakening to discernment. Again, the unveiling of God, 1964. The last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. How many of them have walked right out into it and they rejected the word? How many of them in 1956, when America turned down the message, when they turned down the gospel, how many of them walked away? Oh, they might not have died right there physically, but spiritual death is worse than physical death any day. Remember,
Amen.
Jesus said, "Don't fear him that can destroy the body, but fear that him that can destroy the soul," which in Revelations, it talks of the second death, which is the, Brother Bram said in the Church Age book, he said, if there's a second death, then it's the death of the soul. And so it wasn't so much that they went into a physical death, but when they rejected it and they walked away from it and they sealed that off, then it was to walk into spiritual darkness, to walk into spiritual death. But yet there's another group that's going higher and higher and higher, and she keeps pressing on and she keeps recognizing and more keeps unfolding, and she looks around and sees all these going out into spiritual death and the death angel coming by and this one falling away and that one falling away. But they look and they recognize the token's still applied.
Amen.
It's still on the door. Just as that little boy could go over there, and I don't know what they had. Maybe they had some little sticks that they had carved into figures or whatever it would be, and he could sit there just as happy and play and not have to worry, yet on the outside screaming and wailing and death and people crying out and saying, "Oh God, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I get to Goshen? Why didn't I hear what Moses said? Why didn't we listen? Why didn't we take the blood and do what they said? Why did we care what people thought and how they made fun of us? What did it even matter?" As all that crying and screaming and commotion was going on, here's a little boy over in Goshen in the corner playing with his toys, because his daddy checked the front door and the token was still applied. I hope we can check up tonight and make sure on our homes. It's not blood on the doors. It's the Holy Ghost abiding. Oh, let us check up tonight and make sure that it's still applied. Exodus chapter 12, verse 30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel." He's not asking him like he did last week, "Who shall go? Are you taking the kids and the elderly and the dogs and the cattle and the llamas?" And he doesn't even care. He says, "Just get out. Just leave. Get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon all the people that they may send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We all be dead men." I like this in Why Christ Speak, 1963. Brother Bram says it this way. He said, notice this, how beautiful. Oh, I love this, he said. You know, finally Pharaoh said, "Get out." He said, God just plagued him with the voice of Moses. God plagued him with the voice of Moses. He got so tired of hearing that prophet's voice. He got so tired of every time he came around, it condemning his conscience. And as the man told Brother Mayfield that time, he said, "Don't you ever give me one of those books again." He said, "That man in that book called me a buzzard." And Brother Mayfield said, "That's funny. That man in that same book called me an eagle." What was it? It was the same voice, but he was speaking to two different groups of people. And one, they could listen to it and recognize and be blessed and say, "Oh my, thank God that my name was on the book of redemption. Thank God that the tokens applied. Thank God for sending a prophet in this age so that we could recognize what's taking place." And yet there was another group that would say, "I don't want to hear that voice anymore. It condemns me. It condemns my conscience. It condemns my wife for the way she lives and the way she cuts her hairs and the way she dresses. I don't want to hear that voice anymore." And it became a plague to him. But Brother Branham said it this way again, Why Christ Speak 1963. He said, "I'm so glad that a man can so completely serve God till the devil don't know what to do with him." He said, "That's right. Just obeyed God so completely till the devil said, 'Oh my, get away. I don't want to hear it no more.'" That's right. He said, "You can do it so completely." The devil got so upset with this man. Hear Pharaoh. Remember, in Exodus here a little earlier, if you go back and read, God tells Moses when he commissions him, and Moses begins to complain about his speech and how he, you know, he's not eloquent and eloquent. There we go. And he can't talk good. And sometimes the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? He's got a sense of humor too. He's not a man of fair speech, and my, he gets mixed up, and he stutters, and his tongue gets all twisted up, and he said, God said, "I created your tongue, Moses." I was listening to a tape today. Brother Bram said Dwight Moody, when he went over into Europe, and everybody was so staunch and spoke just a certain way, and he began to read a scripture, and he said he read it the first time, and he said Philistine instead of Philistine. And he said he got all embarrassed, and he tried to read it again, and he said he just read that part, and he read it wrong a second time. And he said, finally, he said, "Well, I'll just read the whole thing over." So he read the whole verse over again, got it wrong the third time. He said, "God, I'll just speak with the tongue you gave me." And he said they nearly tore the building apart. The presence of God followed. And I'll just talk with the tongue he gave me. And Moses, he says, "Moses, don't you recognize that I made your mouth? That I made your tongue?" But he said, "It's okay, I'll send your brother with you. He's coming up to your house, and he's going to be so happy to see you. And you just let him act as a prophet to you, and you be as a god unto Pharaoh." So here he's going with a vindicated ministry, and he became not uppercase G, but he became a lowercase g. You go look at it in your Bible. A god to Pharaoh, to where Pharaoh could look and see God so much in this man that even T.L. Osborne looked and he said, "I saw Jesus in a man." Right. This is a man that didn't even fully accept the message. Right. This is a man that stayed in the denominations, but he looked and identified and said, "I saw Jesus in a man." Right. See how they get it confused and they begin to try to worship him because they took it so far. But Moses actually became a god, lowercase g, to Pharaoh. And here Pharaoh stood, the devil incarnate there, walking on 2 feet. And he got so upset he didn't even know what to do with him. Said, "Just get out of here." Brother Bram said, "I'm so glad that a man can live so close to God that the devil don't even know what to do with him."
Amen.
God's provided approach to divine fellowship, 1960. How can I have that faith? Brother Branham, he said, "It's just as simple as reaching and getting the hyssop to apply the blood. Believe it for yourself. Believe that Christ died for you. Believe that he was the innocent one that died in your place as a sinner and guilty. Same applies today by divine healing. Just simple faith to take him at his word."
Amen.
We try to complicate it so much, and men get up and try to draw it out on a blackboard, and all the complexity of it. And you got to do this, and you got to come that way, and you've got to say amen a certain way, and you got to read this certain set of quotes and see it the way that I see it, and you've got to amen this, and you got to go through and read the whole church age book and say amen, 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 because you know the Holy Ghost says amen to all the word, and hey, the devil can do that. The devil can physically say amen. But it's more than being able to say it with your lips. That's just a lip service. But to be able to live the word. Right. To be able to, when he says, "Oh, you women don't cut your hair," and you don't, that's saying amen to the word.
Amen.
When he tells you, brothers, you know, don't pull these shady deals, and don't drink, and don't smoke, and don't do all these different things, and you live that life, that's saying amen to the word. Not with your lips, but with your life. It's fulfilling the word. And Brother Bram said, it's so simple, just as simple as taking the hyssop and dipping it in and putting it over the door. He said, just believe what Jesus did for you. Just accept that he died for you. He didn't die just for some Jews that was there 2,000 years ago. He didn't just die for the Gentile man that was there, or for the Samaritan, or for this one or that one. He died for you personally. It wasn't just to the thief hanging there that he said, I'll see you in paradise. It wasn't just for him. It wasn't just for Peter and the 120 in the upper room. But you should be able to read your name in that it was me. It was me that he came seeking. It was me that was on the book of redemption that he came and he loosed the seals and opened it up so that he could look there. Brother Bram said it this way. When John began to scream, and he said he shouted, and he said, all of heaven heard me. Brother Bram said the reason he got so excited was he saw his name on the book. Amen. He saw his name on the book. He recognized, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. They can say I'm in a cult, but I'm glad to say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad to follow that man, Branham. Amen. I love how he keeps, you know, it's so simple, the message, and it goes right over the top of the people's heads. Right. They said, oh my, he said, there's never been a man that came with a ministry since Abraham ending in H-A-M. He said, until our age. He said, of course, Abraham had 7 letters and Graham has 6, but he said, now we've got a messenger to our age ending in H-A-M, 6 letters. And any school kid could have sat there and said, let's see, Branham. Oh, there you go. But it went right over the top of their head. Why? Because he didn't get up there and say, you know, if you read my name and take, you know, B, start at the B and work your way to the M, it is 7 letters, you know. He wasn't that type of man. He didn't get up there to show off and to perform and to try to be somebody. He pointed us to the real somebody. Amen. He pointed us to Jesus Christ. He didn't try to exalt himself and to lift himself up, but he taught us that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them into me. His ministry was lifting up Jesus Christ out of history. There was people, good people, theologians, scientists, Christians, all types of men that could look and they could recognize the God of the past. Oh, maybe they could say, my, wasn't it wonderful what he did there in the days of Egypt when he parted the great Red Sea and the plagues and the things. Oh, my, what a God that was. But, you know, God doesn't move that way anymore. Joshua said one time, he said, if God be God, or I believe it was Gideon, he said, if God be God, then where are his miracles? And he was able to lift this Jesus Christ and not take him and put him like the denominations do and say, oh my, he's a little baby in the manger, or he's a man on a cross that took away your sins 2,000 years ago. They keep pointing you back to history. But Brother Branham's ministry was able to lift Jesus Christ up out of history and put him on display before the people night after night, to where they could recognize he's not a God of BC 263, or he's not a God of just a God of Calvary or just a God of a manger. But he's a God tonight, present tense, in our midst to perform whatever you have need of. It's still the same tonight. The blood's still there. Amen. Amen. Why don't you go look and make sure the blood's still there? Check your home. Check your life. Check your children. Make sure that the token is still applied tonight. As they ran down through the streets of Egypt there, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and distress and all that was going on, yet there was a people that could sit in peace and lift their hands and thank God for what he did, that when the death angel passed through, he passed over their house because the blood was applied. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come, aren't you thankful that we have an atonement for us as well? That the blood's been applied. That we don't have, not a sacrifice yearly, but once and for all. Paul said, once and for all. He sacrificed himself for us so that we could go free.
Amen.
Let's sing this together tonight. This is number 223 in your hymn book if you don't know it. Oh, God spoke to Moses. Told him what to say to the children of Israel in Goshen that day. Slay the lamb, take the blood, strike the pulse and I'll pass through Egypt this night and slay all the firstborn. Oh, but I like this part. Let the death angel pass. Christ, aren't you thankful tonight? Oh, that token he gave, said that we could be saved. And oh, hallelujah and glory to God. Yes, his blood's been applied, now his spirit abides. Let the death angel pass. Oh, let's bring it down to our age. That's sweet Holy Spirit is the token today, and all that are under it, God said would be saved. You better get to Goshen, because outside of this token, that's where the lost them in now. Oh, then you can sing, let the death angel pass, 'cause God's bride's safe at last. Oh, in this token he gave, that we could be saved. And oh, hallelujah. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may we check up again tonight. Lord, may we look around and make sure that the token's applied. Lord, Father, for those that have received the Holy Spirit, Lord, may they apply it to their homes. Apply it to their families, Father. Lord, it's more than just a book or just some type of a phrase that we wave over a person, but it's a living reality of your Holy Spirit. How that the Philippian jailer could come and say to Paul, what must we do to be saved? And Paul could look at him and say, sir, if you believe on Jesus Christ, not only you, but your house will be saved. They asked Brother Branham in questions and answers. They said, what does that mean? Does that mean a mother can believe and apply the token her children would be saved? And your prophet spoke and he said, what it means is, if the Philippian jailer could have faith enough for himself, he could have faith for his house too. They still had to receive it. They still had to accept Jesus. They still had to be baptized. But it was the faith of that Philippian jailer that pulled that family under the token. If he could have faith for his own salvation, he could have faith for his family. He could have faith for his children, for his wife, for his loved ones. Rahab could stand there and have faith enough to recognize what you were doing in her age. And as long as that token was applied out the window, all she had to do was just get him in the house. Oh, it's not a physical house today, Father. It's not a church. It's not a home. It's not a physical post, physical lintel, or physical blood, Lord. But it's a promise of the Holy Spirit that you gave. Oh, Father, if we can have faith for ourselves, Lord, may that same faith, may that slingshot of faith, as Brother Branham called it, may it go after our loved ones. May it go after those that have strayed from the fold, Father. Lord, may we apply it tonight by faith. Lord, it's not something that we can do in ourselves, but it's something you've already done. Help us to have faith, Lord, to believe that if you thought enough of us to save us, Father, that you're mindful of us, of our loved ones, of our children, of our families, Lord. May the Holy Spirit go after them tonight. Just as that man in Bowling Green, if the Holy Spirit could turn him around and have him bring a car back to Brother Evans, I believe you can turn loved ones around in their tracks. Maybe they're headed the wrong direction. Maybe they're going out in sin. Maybe they're going the wrong way, Father, but may you stop them in their tracks. May your Holy Spirit turn them around just now. May the Holy Spirit bring them back, Father. We apply the token tonight by faith. Oh, Father, may you just go. May testimonies come back, Father, of different ones, Father, that They just felt something. They couldn't go any further. There was something stopping them. They ran and ran and ran, but something stopped them. The Holy Spirit said, I can't let you go no further. May you get their attention, Father. Wake them up tonight, Father. Help them to get to Goshen while they still can. Lord, as the death angel, Lord, passing by spiritually, spiritual death all around us. But, Father, may we get to Goshen before it's too late. Thank you, Father, for a refuge, for a hiding place in your Holy Spirit that we can go to, Father. In the time of storm, in the time of plague, in the time of peril, in the time of judgments, that, Lord, we're safe under the Holy Spirit's wings, guiding us and protecting us, Lord, again in this age. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Be with us tonight, Father. Help us to check up and make sure that the tokens apply to our home, to our families, to our lives, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Let's sing it again. Oh, let the death angel pass. Let's stand and sing it tonight. God's bride safe at last. In that token he gave. Oh, my head on my heart. When I see the blood.
Peace.
and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. Oh, when I see the blood, oh, when I see the blood, oh, when I see the blood, our Redeemer, He died on the cross, died for the sinner, He paid all His due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass, I'll pass over you. Oh, when I see the blood, is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Oh, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. God bless you, you're dismissed. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Oh, saving me.